chapter 6. We'll look at this thought, and I'll try to give you some things that God has laid on my heart. I've been praying about our church going through just maybe doing some reading through the scripture as a church, whether it be reading through the Bible or reading through certain books of the Bible. I'm uncertain yet. I've got some things put together, and I'll bring it to you Sunday. I'd also like to encourage you to memorize some scripture with me. How many of you regularly, you say, you know, I regularly memorize scripture, raise your hand. Anyone? Okay, we have a few people who regularly memorize scripture. I want to encourage the rest of you to get involved in this, in Bible memory. And we'll take, maybe 15 verses a month and memorize, and we'll do them topically. I've been thinking about holiness for January, and then we'll just take topics and we'll memorize them as a church, and we'll go over them from time to time and find you an accountability partner. You say, well, who would that be for me? Well, I think your mate's a good accountability partner. They're good at shaming you when you don't do good. And so if you don't do your work, then they can shame you and tell you, you know, how you messed up and how you need to get it right and get back on track. Say amen with me. Yeah. So I hope that you will do some things to enhance your walk with the Lord. It could be through Bible reading, Bible study. It could be through Bible memorization. It could be through Bible meditation. And you have to do that. You have to have a plan. It's not going to just happen, okay? And I said this, I don't know, maybe a week or so ago when I was preaching, that if we're going to memorize Scripture, if we're going to read given passages of Scripture, and many accepted reading the New Testament through in the book in the month of November, and so, you know, if you're going to read the Word, study the Word, have time of meditation, you're going to have to set aside a time to do that. If you just think, well, that's going to happen, I'll get up New Year's Day tomorrow and I'll decide what I'm going to do then. No, you decide way before tomorrow morning what you're going to do tomorrow morning in your devotion time. Amen. You have to do that, I'm telling you, because there's so many things that are demanding our time and our attention. And that's really what I want to speak to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about seeking first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he gets to the latter part of chapter number 6, and he makes a statement. And he's been talking about worry. Now, in chapter 6, he discusses three major themes. And I think that it kind of leads up to verse number 33. He talks about worship in chapter 6. He talks about wealth. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And then he talks about worry. And he says, you know, these three things are a big part of our life, and they demand a large part of our life. And we have to intentionally address these things. And so this is what he's talking about. When you look down at verse number 33, Matthew 6, verse number 33, where Jesus said, but seek ye first, and this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he's talking about just prior to this. I believe he really goes back to the beginning of chapter 6, but certainly in the immediate context, he's talking about in verse number 31, take no thought, he said, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal shall you be clothed. And he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And he said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But now here's what you need to do. You need to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what is Jesus saying here? What does that look like to me, to you? How are we going to do that? Is this just going to happen Are we going to just consciously be thinking about and seeking and desiring spiritual things and God's kingdom? And I think when Jesus is speaking of the kingdom here, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, the kingdom of God, I certainly know he's talking about spiritual things, but someone has made a statement, and that is that you can't be involved in the kingdom without, well, being loyal to the king. And I think that what the Lord Jesus wants me to do is he wants me to give a priority to spiritual things. And if it doesn't mean anything else, I think that we can just at least begin there. God wants me to have a priority on my spirit man, my soul, my spiritual relationship with him, and my growth, the success of my spiritual life. And so I wonder, as we close out this year and we go into a new year, have you given thought to, and this is not a message to try to shame anyone, it's not a message to try to do anything other than encourage you to give some thought to what is your spiritual development, your plan for spiritual development look like for a new year? What does that look like? I'm not going to accidentally have a better year spiritually next year than I did this year. It's going to have to be intentional. You see, I'm going to have some preparation. There's going to have to be some things that I intentionally do, that I desire, that I seek. There's going to have to be some actions that I take. And so many of us, if we're not careful, because there's so many things that are pulling at my time as a pastor, pulling at your time, for if you're in ministry or if you work secular work, you have a family. There's things that go on in our lives. And the Lord Jesus is saying here, you need to give priority to your spiritual life. I need to give some priority to my spiritual life. Now, what does that look like? Is that a Bible reading schedule? Well, it may be. Is that intentionally laying out scripture and saying, I'm going to memorize this amount of scripture per week or per month? Well, it may be. I will tell you this. If I don't prepare to memorize a certain amount of scripture, I'm probably not going to do it. And I could say, well, you know, I'm not going to get a plan. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to memorize some scripture. Well, I don't mean this to be ugly now, but I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you didn't plan on memorizing, how many did you by chance memorize last month? This is the last day of the month. Beginning December 1st, how many scriptures have you memorized? You see, you have to intentionally have a plan, or it's probably not going to happen. And it's the same with meditation. If you haven't set aside a time to where this is going to be my time to be still before God, this is going to be my time to where I just get along with God and it's me and God. I shut my phone off. I shut the world out, and it's me and God. And for you, that may be 5 minutes. It may be 10. It may be 15. I'm not saying that it has to be for hours. But you have to start somewhere. And you have to have a time set aside. And to think that it's going to happen without setting aside that time, it's really, you're fooling yourself. And I don't want you to do that. And I don't want to do that, okay? And so let's see what the Lord says here. And then I want to encourage you to be prayerfully considering memorizing scripture. Well, I can't do that. And here it goes now. Okay, you listening? The moment that we say, okay, I'm going to do this with the help of God, I'm going to have a devotional life. I'm going to invest in my spiritual life. I'm going to give time to my spirit man. I'm going to spend some time with God. The moment you make that declaration, just be ready for it, okay? you're going to be bombarded with, well, you can't do that, or you can't do it then, or you can't do it this long, or you can't do that much. And it just goes on and on. And you'll constantly have to keep seeking. But seek ye first, and then keep seeking. You see, that's what Jesus is teaching here. But seek ye first, and it's not just a one-time decision. Well, you know what? I'm going to 2026, I'm going to enhance my spiritual life. I'm going to get a Bible reading schedule. I'm going to memorize scripture. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to pass out so many tracts. I'm going to witness. I'm going to win souls. You're not going to make that one-time declaration and then be done for 365 days. And I think you know what I'm saying to you is so. Is that right, brethren? You know what I'm saying to you so. It's not going to happen that way. And so you're going to have to keep recommitting. You're going to have to keep seeking. So let's do this. Let's have a word of prayer. And then let's look at what Jesus is saying here. Because this is the challenge. This is the challenge. We have a lot going on in our lives. Okay, there's a lot going on in our lives. We concern ourselves with a lot of things, and not all of them are bad things. When you read chapter 6, Jesus, he talks about alms and prayer and fasting, and that's worship, and that's very important. And then he talks about wealth. He talks about no man can serve two masters, and you will either hate the one and serve the other. And so you have to make some decisions on what you're going to do with your life. And then there's worry. There's a lot of things that take place with our families, with our health, with our finances. And there's just things that will try to bombard our minds to keep us from doing what Jesus said in verse number 33. And that is making him a priority. Making my spiritual life a priority. I do not want my spiritual walk with God to be secondary. I want that to be the primary thing of my life. And I believe you do too. However, if that's going to happen, there's going to have to be some intention. There's going to have to be some continuous action. It's not just a one-time, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I do it. I follow through for 365 days. I'm going to have to come back at some point and remind myself, hey, I need to regroup. Right? I need to recheck some things. And that's where it's good to have an accountability partner. And I'm glad that we have the ultimate accountability partner in the Holy Spirit. And he will tell us, hey, you're slacking. You're backing up. And you need to be moving forward. And so I want to encourage you to just take some thought into what we're going to say here out of this verse of Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I have a few truths I want to give you out of verse 33. And then I want to encourage you to take the challenge for the new year. And then we'll do one prayer and one praise. And we'll have a season of thanksgiving and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you for this time together. And God, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging our hearts from your word. And I pray that you would challenge our hearts tonight from the word of God. Help me to be a help and a blessing to your people. And God, I pray you'd help us to, as we look into this passage, to give serious thought to our spiritual well-being, and that we would grow and we would make preparation for spiritual development and growth in our lives. We would not be satisfied with where we are, but we would long and desire and to seek to be stronger and be more useful, to honor you, to be that vessel that you have purposed us to be, that vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. In Jesus' name, amen. Please forgive me. I'm going to have to drink a little water. My throat's been a little dry. All right. You probably have memorized verse number 33. Let's just take it down and see what the Lord is telling us here. Okay? I look the word seek up. But seek, I don't think that when I look at the word seek there, it is in the imperative. It implies a deliberate desire. It's something that you deliberately, it's something that you intentionally, it's a deliberate desire. It is an intentional action. Seek. But seek, it's, as I said, it's imperative. It's not an option. Like something you sit back and say, well, you know, this is just going to happen. No, if it's going to happen, you're going to have to put some action to it. But seek, you know. And I think sometimes in our spiritual lives, we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that, well, it just doesn't happen. If I'm going to develop, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to get stronger spiritually, if I'm going to memorize more scripture, if I'm going to know more about the Bible, if I'm going to witness to more sinners, if I'm going to help more people, if I'm going to minister to more people, then it's something I'm going to have to intentionally do. I'm going to have to make a plan for it. I'm going to have to be aware of the need of it and that I need to be a part of that. And so the Lord Jesus said, but seek. Seek, as I said, it implies an earnest pursuit and a not only an intentional action, but as I said, a continual action. It's not just something that you say, well, I'm going to do it New Year's Eve, and then all of next year, then I will hold to it. We'll have to revisit this. If you're anything like me and you are, you're going to have to revisit this. If you determine, I'm going to memorize Scripture, I'm going to hide God's Word in my heart, I'm going to give out the gospel, I'm going to read so much of the Scripture, I'm going to study God's Word, then you're going to have to come back to that again. You're going to have to come back to that commitment. You're going to have to come back to that desire, because there's going to be some things that's going to come in and try to divert and distract and even detract you and I from doing that. And so when the Lord Jesus said seek, he's commanding now. As I said, it's imperative. He's commanding it, but he's saying not only is it a command, this is something you are to do, but now there's a promise. It's a conditional command. He said, if you'll seek, then there's going to be a promise attached to that. God is going to reward the seeking. He said, there's going to be some things added to you. I'm glad for promises like that, aren't you? Amen. And so he said, seek first. Seek ye first. First. This is a first and foremost importance. There's nothing in my life that's going to be more important than what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, that God's already talked to me about. The most important thing in my life is my spiritual well-being. That has to be the most important thing in your life. If you're saved, it should be. Amen. If you're saved, your spiritual development, your spiritual growth, your spiritual outreach, your spiritual, as far as strength inwardly, that should be the most important thing in our lives. But seek ye first. This speaks of priority. It has to be a priority. The reason that a lot of folks don't grow spiritually, it's not a priority. It's just not a priority to them. But I believe it's a priority to you. I do. I'd be hard-pressed to believe if there's anybody here tonight that spiritual development is not a priority to you. Now, Jesus said it ought to be top priority. Seek ye first. Is that your top priority? As you think about, and so many people do this. Listen, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy. Okay, I'm not. Now, if you are, that's fine. All right, if you make resolutions and you write down all these things that you say you're going to do, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's not me. But if that's you and that's what you want to do, go for it. That's fine. But I do believe that there ought to be plans and there ought to be preparation. And I believe there ought to be goals. And I believe that for me, my spiritual life is the most important thing to me. And I believe that it's at the top for you. I hope so, anyway. If it's not, you're probably not going to advance too much spiritually. You may even be to the place where you think, well, I really don't need that much change in my life spiritually. Well, see, now you're borderline lukewarm. Because when you think you have need of nothing, Jesus warned us about that, didn't he? Amen. And when you think you're full and you think you're okay, and you think, well, I don't need to do this. I don't need to memorize scripture. I'm good, preacher. No, no, no. No, you're not good. We all need improvement. We all need to do more. Anybody in here okay with their spiritual life? We all need to do better. There's room for improvement in all of our lives. And the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So seek, that's the desire, that's the intention, that's the action. First, that's the preeminence. Make it first. Make your spirit life first. There's a lot of other things that people are seeking. I don't want to get caught up in that. Many people will say, you know, this is going to be the year I make my first million. Well, you know what? I'm not interested in that. Now, if you are, that's you. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in what the world coins as success. I sit and I listen to people talk about their success, and it saddens me because their success is not attached to biblical truth. Their success is not attached to spiritual development, to their spirit man. And they think success, the world has a different view of what success than what God's people ought to have. And so there's so many people that will be viewing and they will be chasing things. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to have my vision through the lens of God's word. And I believe you do too. I hope that you do. And so he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what is he saying here? What does that mean? If I'm going to seek God's kingdom, some people say, well, you know, that means that I ought to seek going to heaven. Well, I'm already going to heaven. Right? I'm already going to heaven. That's not what Jesus is talking about. I need to seek those things, as I mentioned to you earlier. If it means nothing else, it ought to, at least I think we can just stop right here and say it means the spiritual things in this life. Not the temporal things, the eternal things, the things that are eternal, the things that have eternal value, right? And as one man said, you can't really seek the kingdom without being loyal to the king. You have to seek the king of the kingdom if you're going to seek the kingdom of God. And so when I seek, I want to do God's will. I want to know God's word. I want to bring myself in allegiance to the Word of God. I want to bring myself under the authority of the Word of God. Is that what you're seeking? Has that entered your mind as we have closed down this year and we close out this year and now we're right on the doorstep of entering into another year? Have you been given thought to, well, you know, there's areas of my life that I could bring more under the authority of God's kingdom, of God's way, of God's word, in God's will. There's things in my own life that I need to bring into the authority and submission to Christ. There's areas of my life. And when Jesus said, seek ye first, these are the things that God wants me to do. These are the things that God wants you to do. As God's people, God wants us to come more into allegiance with what he has said. He wants me to come more into under the authority of his rule and his reign. You know, when the disciples said, you know, teach us to pray, and he done it even right here in Matthew 6, that it was just prior to this. If you'll go back, I'll show you what I'm talking about. In verse number 9, he said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And here it is, thy kingdom come. thy kingdom come. Now that's the kingdom that he's speaking of. But seek ye first the kingdom, God's kingdom. And when he said, thy kingdom come, notice what he said here, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know how many wills there are in this room? As many people as there are. You know how many wills there have been done in heaven? One. Of all the inhabitants of heaven, and I don't know how many that is, brethren, the myriad of angels, the heavenly host, all of God's people that are there, there's one will in heaven. Notice what he said. Thy will be done. One will. And that's what I need to be after. That's what you need to be after. When I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, when I'm putting Jesus first, when I'm putting God's program first, God's plan first, then I want to do his will. I want his will to be done in my life. I don't want mine and his will to be done. You know, I want his will to be done. You see what I'm saying, brethren? I've got some room for improvement here. How about you? And so if I'm going to get there, I'm going to have to take some steps. It's not going to just happen. You know, well, you know, this is another year. I'm going into my 45th year of being a Christian, or my 37th year, or my 55th year, whatever it is for you. And so that's going to automatically make me more spiritual. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're going to get out of spiritually this year that is before us what we put into it, what we plan for it, how we prepare for it, how we structure our days and we plan out our weeks and say, I'm going to grow closer to God. I'm going to get in his word. I'm not going to allow the things that are on the outside. And something. Listen, I'm not saying bad things. There can be good things. Family. Ministry. There can be things that it doesn't have to necessarily be things of the devil that get involved and pull us away from fulfilling what Jesus is saying right here. And so it's a fight. It's a battle. That's why the word seek there is a word, and I hope you'll look it up. It's a strong desire with an intention. And as I said, it's not just an intention, an intentional action. It is a continual action. If you go back to verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's interesting. As I'm seeking God's will, as I'm seeking God's kingdom, as I'm seeking his rule in his way, his reign, his purposes in my life, I'm doing it and I'm seeking his righteousness. Now, I like this because if you'll notice, Jesus said, and all these things. You see that? Now, here's the promise. The promise is if I will seek God's kingdom as God's child, if I will seek first God's kingdom, all of these things are going to be added. That's the promise, brethren. That's the promise. You know why I could stand up here and I say this just as unworthy as I know how to say it, just as honest as I know how to be. I could stand up here and tell you that I have no complaints because this scripture has been fulfilled in my life. Many of you, this scripture has been fulfilled in your life. You have sought God's kingdom. You have put God first. And God has taken care of every one of your needs. Amen. He didn't say I would just pour out, you know, every kind of blessing. He just said, I'll take care of your needs. Is that what he said? He said, all these things. What things? Look at verse 31, 32. Verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, you know, the Gentiles, he said, they seek after these things. Your Father knoweth what you, your Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things. And then he said, here's all those things. Right here they are. The latter part of verse number 32 says that you have need of all these things. Same phrase, same content. All these things shall be added unto you. And the reason God adds them to us is because God keeps his promise. Amen? God keeps his promise. And God will meet every need, everything that he has promised, the necessities of life. When we put him first, God said, I'm going to take care of you. And he does too, doesn't he? Amen. But now I want you to watch what God is more concerned about than what I have. Now, God is concerned about what I have. As a matter of fact, he said that. He said in verse number 32 that you have need. You see that? He said, God knows in verse number 32, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need. God's concerned about what you have. And that's why he said in verse number 33, if you'll seek first my kingdom, you'll have these things. All these things shall be added to you. Is that what he said, church? That's what you have. But there's something that God's more concerned about than what I have. And that's what I am. And that's why he said, you seek first, look at it, the kingdom of God. And then he didn't say all these things. He said, in his righteousness, because that determines what I am. God's righteousness is attached to his character. And God wants me to be like him. That's right. God saved me to be like him. God saved you to be like him. And as I'm seeking him, as you are seeking him, as we seek God, as we put him first, it helps us to become like him. That word righteousness is very interesting. It really has, it has like a dual meaning. It means his character. We will, as we seek him, as we're in his presence, as we follow him, as we walk, even also as he walked, we become like him. We become holy even also as he is holy. That's what Peter said. But it also, it means righteous acts. The righteousness of God is his acts. And God wants me not just to be like him. God wants me to do things that he commands, to do like him, right? God wants me to do like him. And God wants me to love like he loves. That's right. God wants me to be like him. God wants you to be like him. God is conforming us into Jesus Christ. And so not only as I seek God, as I seek his kingdom, as I put him first, he's going to see that I have what I need, but he's going to see that I am what I need to be. So that when I get what I need, then that won't determine and that won't define who I am. Some people, you give them a little something, and brethren, I'm telling you, they go hog crazy. Right? You give somebody a little something, and they do not have the character of God. They do not have the character to handle the gift. And it just makes them totally somebody. I've read, you've read, we've heard of these people who win large sums of money through lottery or some other form of betting or those types of things, and it makes them ugly, it makes them wicked, it makes them selfish, it ruins their life.
Because God is not just concerned about what I have. Yes, God wants me to have these things. And he said, if you will seek me first, I will see to it that you have these things. They will be added to you. But you'll get something far greater than these things. You seek God's kingdom. You seek his righteousness. And then you get something that's far greater than all these things that'll be added to you. You'll get the character of God. You'll be put into that transforming mode that God, from people who are growing, people who are growing closer to God, people who are drawing near unto God are becoming more like God. Because as I seek him, I draw near to him. And as I draw near to him, he draws near unto me. And when I become like God, that's the best me you're going to get. Amen. When you become like God, that's the best you we're going to get, brethren. And that's what we need. We need to be more like God. I don't need to be more like another man. That's not what I'm after. And I'm not opposed to mentorship, and I'm not opposed to admiring people's accomplishments in life. But I've got my goal. I have my sights set on higher ground. Amen. I want to be more like God. And I think you do too. I hope you understand. This is what Jesus is teaching me. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? And so he said, first of all, seek. And he said, the kingdom of God. Get involved in the things God is involved in. Let your interests become what his interests are. God's interest is his kingdom, brethren. Let our interests become what God's interests are. His righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about a self-righteousness now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his righteousness. Seeking God's character. Seeking God's righteous acts. Yielding and allowing him to make us what he has purposed for us to be. And then finally, I just wrote this down because as I was sitting at my desk, I thought about this, and I probably had read it or heard it from someone. When God's kingdom is our priority and God's righteousness is our pursuit, God's provision will be our portion. And that's on every level, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's on every level. I hope that you will understand. I'm not just talking about getting stuff from God. That's not what I'm talking about. Though God is our provider, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. But tonight, I'm not speaking to you about that. How to get things from God. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to get God. Not things from him. I want to know more of him. And I want to get interested in the things that God's interested in. Sometimes my interests get in the way. Sometimes I get interested in things maybe that God is not interested in. And I want my interests to be honed in to what God's interests are. And so I want to ask you that question. As you have reflected, no doubt all of us have thought in some way, we've given some thought to the new year. And maybe you have some aspirations. Maybe you have some goals, and you have some thoughts about what the new year will be. I don't know. But I wonder, have you given any thought to your spiritual development, your spiritual growth? Where will you be this time next year, if Jesus doesn't come
Now, he may come. And if it does, well, it'll be okay. But if he allows us to live, and he allows us to go through this year, do you have a plan to grow closer to him? And what does that look like? You say, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, Pastor. No. No, I think we need to turn it up a notch. The world's getting darker, brethren. Yeah. The task before us is getting more complex. We need to take some steps. We need to get closer to God. Some of you, and I'm just going to be just, okay, I'm going to be honest. Some of you just need to get right with God. You just do. And I don't mean that to be mean. I mean it because I care. And you just need to get in God's Word. And get God's Word in you. And we could all say, well, we're okay, Pastor. You act like we're all just a bunch of backslidden pagans. No, that's not it at all. When's the last time you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone? See, these are the things God's interested in. When's the last time you won somebody to Jesus? That you took a Bible and showed someone how to be saved? Whether they got saved or not, you approached them and you confronted someone about their sin and about their soul. See, these are the things that God's interested in. When's the last time you picked up the phone and called someone that you know is out of church? It doesn't have to be this church. You know, they no longer go to church. They've lost their way. They're down. They're discouraged. These are the things that God is interested in. When's the last time you walked up and put your arm around someone who does attend church, but you knew what they were going through, but you said, you know, I just don't know that I'm going to get involved because it's really none of my business. Well, listen, if they're part of your church family, it's part of your business. You go tell someone, you put your arm around them, you tell them, listen, I don't need to know all that's going on. I just want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. And if I can do more than that, call me. Right? These are the things that God is interested in. All right? You see a Sunday school teacher struggling, a bus driver struggling, just a child, a young person that looks a little down or discouraged, and you just go to them and you tell them. These are things that God's interested in. And so, it can't be business as usual. It just can't. And so, God help us. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would.